Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of News Bites. I'm news anchor David James, and this is a report about Boris Johnson, the new Prime Minister of the UK. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know this, but I suspected it, and now it's confirmed. I saw a picture of Boris Johnson, and of course he's a freaky-looking human wasteland, whatever you want to call him. You'll find out soon what he is. But I knew he wasn't really a white man. And I saw his nose from a side profile, and I said, my goodness. And I wasn't positive, but I said, geez, that's something else. So a new friend, sent me a few emails, and one of them had the information about Boris in it. And I want to thank Old Fritz for sending me that information. So let's take a look at Boris Johnson, and you'll be surprised at a few things about this fellow. Like, for instance, he was born in New York. Why is he a British politician? That's one of my major questions. So there's an article from a website on thejc.com, interview with Boris Johnson, my Jewish credentials. And the article starts out, from Boris Johnson's campaign offices on the 16th floor of the Centrepoint tower block, his potential dominion stretches out in a majestic vista, taking in London from Wembley to Battersea. You know, that's the Pink Floyd picture on animals, Battersea, and the misty hills beyond. But Johnson is not king of all he surveys, at least not quite yet. It is only day one of his eagerly anticipated campaign. Now, this is 2007, you see. To be Conservative candidate for London mayor. A day in which he has galloped from a press launch where he described current mayor Ken Livingstone's relationship with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez as Caracas, to interviews with almost every London media outlet. He was born Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson. And it shows he bumbles into the conference room having just survived what he describes as a monstering by callers into a black community radio program. A monstering, he called it. They didn't call him out for that, though. I need sympathy, he groans, slumping in front of the table, which his assistants have set thoughtfully, if self-consciously, with a jar of honey and a plate of freshly sliced apples. Well, there's a lot of padding in this article, as you can see. And it says here that he was telling people to go back to Iran and all this stuff. But then on the other hand, let's see, Johnson, I'm just skipping this thing because it's a waste of time to read it. Well, maybe it isn't. Listen to this. Then there was a left-wing firebrand's public embrace of Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, a Muslim cleric who allegedly backs Palestinian suicide bombings as well as wife-beating and homophobia. In his suggestion that the Indian-born Reuben brothers, of course they're Jews, right, go back to Iran. All of this has led to tribunals, accusations, and God Almighty broiges, which it seems fair to say one Simcha in the square, one guide to Jewish London, did you hear that? Jewish London? And a couple of receptions at City Hall have failed entirely to soothe. Let's see what Bruges means just while we're at it. It's a Jewish word, apparently. It means angry or annoyed. Bruges, Bruiges. Angry, a dispute. Hebrew, textual Hebrew, Yiddish, and Judeo-German. Judeo-German, get it? Jewish-German, German-Jewish, which Yiddish is part of that. Very interesting, huh? Let's get back to it. Johnson, on the other hand, not only has the virtue of being almost the polar opposite of Red Ken, but is also a trenchant supporter of Israel. Do you know why he is Prime Minister of Jewish London? Isn't it interesting? It's called Jewish London. So he's a trenchant supporter of Israel, an enemy of politically correct anti-Zionism, and immediately proud of his own Jewish ancestry, his own Jewish ancestry. The Henley MP's great-grandfather, Elias Avery Lowe, being the Moscow-born son of a schmutter merchant, I feel Jewish. This is when he's speaking here. This is Boris speaking. Are you ready? I feel Jewish when I feel the Jewish people are threatened or under attack. That's when it sort of comes out. It comes out. Are you hearing this, Christian people? You digging this? Listen. Listen carefully. What is it that's coming out? These are the sons of the devil, the living sons of the devil. The offspring of the devil, literally, right? Listen. Quote, I feel Jewish when I feel the Jewish people are threatened or under attack. That's when it sort of comes out, he declares. When I suddenly get a whiff of anti-Jewishism, it's then that you feel angry and protective. You wonder why now? Do you know why he is? Now, the world looks at him and they see the blonde hair, right? But they don't see the sad eyes, you know, the same ones Professor Truth has, you know, you know what I'm talking about? But you see, he just admitted he's Jewish here, but he's more than just Jewish. Listen, when asked to think of an example, he seizes upon last year's Lebanon War. That must have been 2006. I haven't discussed this with my handlers at all. Are you hearing this? This is him talking. Listen, I haven't discussed this with my handlers at all, he begins, gesturing towards a member of his media team sitting nearby who appears to slide further and further down his seat as the interview progresses. I felt during that business that sometimes people were writing and discussing Israel without really recognizing that Israel was coming under attack. I think by now in this particular show, you've realized why he's prime minister, right? But you've also realized that they didn't tell you he was a Jew, right? See, they depend on you not doing your homework. It was the same thing when I investigated Eli James. He depends on you to be lazy and not look into the past of what has taken place in his life and his involvement with CI. It's the same thing right here. It's the same thing all over the world. Tommy Robinson, for instance. I've explained it several times. He's an admitted Zionist. He's had dealings with the Rothschilds, with banking fraud and so on and so forth. He's not the hero that they're portraying he is. He's a lie. I want you to also look at a picture of him and notice his shoulders. They don't come out like an Anglo-Saxon. straight out, firm, and high, they're slanted way down and sloped way down, which is real strange to me. Real strange. Now, this fellow here, the way I would explain it to you is this. He has claimed that he wants to make Britain the greatest country in the world, which it already was before the Jews got a hold of it, but then it went down the drain, and it's slowly swirling down the drain right now. And his first act in office was to grant amnesty, and I believe it was to about 500,000 people. So he's a liar. His first act since he went into office is betrayal to the true English people, but not to the Jews. It's not betrayal to the Jews. So the first act he commits, they don't even take the time to do something good for the country first. They went right for the throat of the country. 500,000 people coming into the UK is like moving 20 families into your house. Now, it's not exactly in those measures. It's just, that's how crazy this is. This is not good for the country. And it's the opposite of what he says, which is the prototype for all politicians at this point. And it goes all the way back from Clinton and all the way back. They say they're going to do one thing and they do the opposite. It's not a new thing with Trump. But let me explain to you something that I've been thinking about, is that Trump, he's another one who's Jewish that doesn't let you know he's a Jew. He has a freaky hairdo, and he doesn't really look like a total Anglo-Saxon man. He's a facsimile like this Boris Johnson. Oh, yes, they mixed with white people. But his hairdo and this guy's hairdo is the same mess. I mean, Boris Johnson, it's very interesting what they pulled off here. You see, they played the Trump card with Trump, and in almost 4 years now, he's done nothing for America. Nothing at all. And he's certainly done nothing he said he would. And so the 501c3, remember he was going to remove that? Remember all these things? See, I remember. Maybe you don't. I do. Maybe there's things you remember that I don't. But the premise was that he was going to make America great again. There's been more immigration under Trump than any other president. He's spent us into oblivion just like Obama did, just like all the predecessors before him, Bush, all these Jews. All of them are Jews. Obama is a Jew. He's a Falasha Jew. The Bushes are Jews. The Clintons are Jews. Reagan is a communist. So he's a traitor. If he isn't, doesn't have any Jewish blood, he's a race traitor. And so on and so on. Nixon is a communist. Nixon has a big nose, doesn't he? And he does have that pointed drac hair, doesn't he? So I haven't really looked into Nixon's, but anyway, there's a reason why these people are presidents and prime ministers. This Theresa May was about as useless as an old wet rag, right? And this guy's going to look like a firebrand compared to her. But it's not going to be a firebrand for the English people. It's going to be a firebrand for the Jews. You heard what he just said. It comes out. It. The devil. And so, the Jews of England, or whomever comes up with all the stuff, the Bilderberger, I would assume that he was made prime minister at the Bilderberger, and they decided that's how that would go because they knew he was a Jew, and you don't until now. And they knew he'd do everything they wanted him to do because he'd do anything. How do I know that? Let me just go over to an article. We'll come back to this one real quick. It says he once wanted to be king of the world. Now Boris Johnson has his crown. Did you hear me? He once wanted to be king of the world. Who is the king of the world at this point? When you achieve the 33 degree of Freemasonry, you become spiritually linked with the king of the world. Let me read a little bit for you. Boris Johnson's sister once said that as a child, he wanted to be world king when he grew up. Now one of the most divisive politicians of his generation has fulfilled one lifelong dream and will become the United Kingdom's prime minister on Wednesday. The governing Conservative Party, that's another thing. I'm glad it mentioned that. A Jew conservative, Boris. Or Alexander. Alexander, king of the world, you get it? He's a conservative Jew. Huh? Is there any such thing as a conservative Jew? Well, yes, there is, in a sense. When it comes to them keeping their power, they're very conservative. But when it comes to being conservative in your nation, they're very liberal. They're very liberal in giving away your money, very liberal with your borders, very liberal with your death during the wars, etc., etc., etc. Think about what I just said. Think of the magnitude of what I just said to you. While I take a sip of coffee, you think about that. They're liberal with what's not theirs. And your country, you want to be conservative with your country. You want to keep it the way you have it. But at that point, you're an enemy of these liberal Jews. And you're an enemy of the nation and the government and everything else, correct? So only they're allowed to be conservative about Jewry. But you're supposed to be just as liberal as them and not question anything they're doing. Now listen, again, one of the most divisive politicians of his generation. What did I tell you that one of the main tools of the devil and his children are? Division. And he's one of the most divisive politicians in his generation. Isn't it funny how all this can be read in just one or two little paragraphs of an article, and you can draw this much out of it? He wanted to be world king like his father, the devil. And now he is, I don't know about world king, but one of the kings of the world, sure he is. See, you have to be mayor or whatever or something like that, or in the party before you can be king of Jewish London. See, did you get that, Jewish London? Because that's what it is, you know. When you think of New York or you think of London, it's all Jews. And it is Jewish London. And of course, the city of London within the city of London is even more strictly Jewish than Jewish London. The governing Conservative Party announced the result of its leadership contest Tuesday in what many believed was a foregone conclusion. His opponent, Jeremy Hunt, failed to turn around the Johnson juggernaut. Can you say Bilderberg? There must be a reason that voting takes place on Tuesday. We'll have to find that out someday. I wonder why voting is always on Tuesday. Hmm? The crucial question being asked in the UK at a critical moment of the nation's history is what exactly drives this man? It. I'm answering the question. What drives him? It. What is it? Let me go back to it. Ready? This is what it is. What is this man driven by? I feel Jewish when I feel the Jewish people are threatened or under attack. That's when it sort of comes out, he declares. When I suddenly get a whiff of anti-Jewishism, it's then that you feel angry and protective. That's what this man is driven by. I'll answer the questions from the article, you understand? Do you think that's a viable answer, what I've just given you? Does that sound like what it is that he's being driven by? First, there's his personal style. Johnson's chaotic way of doing politics offends as much as it enthralls. Now, remember that Johnson, who took over when Kennedy was killed, because he was involved in the killing of Kennedy, he is, I believe, quarter Jewish, and his name is Johnson, and he was involved in killing a lot of people, involved in mafia-type things. He was a very evil man, and his name was Johnson as well. Just thought you'd like to know about that. He has a history of making seemingly thoughtless comments, like most Jews do, right? Such as saying that women who wear Islamic face veils look like letterboxes, or calling people from the British Commonwealth flag-waving pickaninnies with watermelon smiles. You see, he doesn't like. He's an internationalist because that's what it is that lives inside of him. So somebody that's true to the nation would be called a flag-waving pickaninny. What is a pickaninny? Let's look it up. A small black child. Let me ask you a question. Saying a statement like that, why he's calling all the children of the UK that are loyal to the land, calling them niggas. Why isn't this Jew called out for using that statement? I'm going to ask you. Now, isn't it funny that I took a minute, you know, a second here to look up this word, and now you know what pickaninny is? A small black child, a little nigglet. And so this Jew gets away with saying, and with watermelon smiles, you get it? See, he knew what a pickaninny was, a small nigglet, with a watermelon smile. You get it? The nigglets love watermelon. I hope you're smiling right now. And I hope you're understanding the magnitude of just this show of what we're learning right here, right now. Now listen, a pickaninny is a North American historical racial slur which refers to a dark-skinned child of African descent. It's a pidgin word form, which may be derived from the Portuguese pequeno. Excuse me, let me do that again. Pequenino. In modern sensibility, the term applies to an archaic depiction of a caricature used in a derogatory and racist sense. How come he wasn't called out for that? Because people don't know what a pickaninny is, you see? And the people that read these things, now I don't know what happened. Maybe he did get called out. I don't know anything about this fellow, but I really doubt he got called out. They just praised him for saying something like that. Why didn't they call him out for it in that article? This is a racist term. Now listen, I don't care about racist terms anyway. It don't matter. It really doesn't matter to me. But he just called all the Britain white people niggas. Like a small black child, what he's referring to is he's saying these people are just cattle. They're animals. They're worthless. Like a black child. You dig? Let's continue. This article is full of gold here, isn't it? Nikki Morgan, a conservative member of parliament and former cabinet minister, sees how this could be a hindrance for Johnson when he takes office and has to face an electorate beyond his own party. I think he recognizes now that what he says causes a reaction, says Morgan. He will still be asked about the comments he's made in the past, and he probably wants to move on. But the fact is, in today's era, it's hard to move on. But he can also be charming, hello, and makes great efforts to win people over, especially in person. Sounds like Bill Clinton? As my friend says, the charming spirit? Harry Mount, hello, a journalist who used to edit Johnson's columns when he was a star writer at the Daily Telegraph, explains that Johnson is great at making you feel good in public, quote-unquote. Sounds like a typical Jew. Despite not having worked together for more than a decade and really never have been his boss, Mount says that to this day, Johnson greets me with a cripes, it's my boss. In other words, instead of saying Christ, cripes, it's my boss. Which is flattering for me, as strangers think the bald guy must be powerful. By the way, I wanted to mention this also about this piece of garbage, filthy, dirty Jew, Boris Johnson. I've seen pictures of him that he looks just like Bernie, pointing fingers at people. Let's just take a quick look while we're at that. Pointing at people is offensive. Listen, now you see Bernie pointing at the people all the time, and you're going to see Boris Johnson pointing at the people. They're trying to get him to use both his hands, and both Bernie too. They teach these politicians all the hand movements, but it's his inclination to point. Listen to this. In much of the world, pointing with the index finger is considered rude or disrespectful, especially pointing to a person. Pointing with the left hand is taboo in some cultures. Pointing with an open hand is considered more polite or respectful in some contexts. I don't think we need to go into it too crazily, but you get it? It's rude. And Jews are rude. So they have him on the stand. He's not pointing. He's got both of his hands out at this point. And it says back Boris on there. He launches his Conservative Party leadership campaign in June 2019. So he just comes right in and becomes prime minister. It doesn't take any time at all. That's because I believe the Bilderberger meeting decided this thing. Hero of the Brexiteers. This ability to flatter, you get it? He's a flatterer. And make others feel liked goes some way to explaining how Johnson managed to win two terms as mayor in London, where voters historically tilt towards the UK's center-left Labour Party. Second, there's his politics. I don't even remember him being mayor. I wasn't paying attention in that time, I guess. Second, there's his politics and his political ambition. Johnson played the decisive role in making Brexit happen. In 2016, under immense pressure from the then Prime Minister David Cameron, the pig, the fellow who put his penis in a dead pig's mouth, to back the Remain campaign, Johnson broke ranks and backed Brexit at the last minute, This has made him the hero of the Brexiteers. Boris, that has undefinable quality of leadership. That's questionable. He has that undefinable quality of leadership, it says. He can persuade people to back him and go in a direction that they may not have initially supported, says Jacob Rees-Mogg. Hello. A long-standing Eurosceptic and Johnson reporter. Only sometimes with his kind of optimism can get people behind Brexit. But others think that Johnson's decision to lead the Brexit campaign was nothing more than a deliberate political move. Morgan, a Remain supporter, explains that the suspicion among some is Johnson did this knowing it would potentially eventually burnish his leadership credentials. It's no secret that ending up in the high office has always been Johnson's aim, Mount says. It was always clear that he saw journalism as a ringside seat for the main contest, which he wanted to star in. The world king, or the king of the world, you see. Now, interestingly, it was always this quote here. It was always clear that he saw journalism as a ringside seat for the main contest. You understand that journalism is what drives politics. And I've told you how everything is media driven. Death is media driven. Anything you can think of. So he knew, because he's a Jew, that the Jews run the media, and that of course it would be his key to getting into the seat which he wanted to star in, or the role he wished to star in. Doesn't do boring. In this naked ambition that brings us to the third and most important reason that Johnson divides opinion, his personal qualities, morality, and suitability to do the job. The truth about Boris is that he works extremely hard. He gets up at 5 a.m., devours newspapers, and would be on the phone by 6:30, wanting to discuss the day. Number one, he devours newspapers. So he devours the programming that's in the newspapers. He believes in the lies of this fake news, and will, what he's doing is learning what he is to promote, learning what he is to back, learning what is the protocol of the learned elders of Zion in today's arena. You understand? His approach is very much like a journalist. He cuts to the chase very quickly, spotting the relevant detail and seeing the wood from the trees. There is not a characterization that Simon Heffer, hello, under whom Johnson worked at the Telegraph, agrees with. He's utterly selfish, completely oblivious to the sensitivities and needs of others, and entirely unprofessional, Heffer recalls. Now, you see the contrast right there. They just told you how wonderful he is and how he works hard and all this. Now, this guy says he's utterly selfish, completely oblivious to the sensitivities and needs of others, and entirely unprofessional. Hello? Sounds like some people I know. But it sounds like a Jew to me. You see? We saw this when he was mayor and he needed numerous deputies because either he was too lazy, not capable, or couldn't be bothered with the detail of what was required to do the job properly. Boy, that sounds like somebody I know, the Teflon Rabbi. Listen again. You know who the Teflon... I've dubbed Eli James the Teflon Rabbi. Listen to this. We saw this when he was mayor, and he needed numerous deputies because either he was too lazy, not capable, or wouldn't be bothered with the detail of what was required to do the job properly. That says everything about the Teflon Rabbi to me. There are no shortage of stories about Boris Johnson's personal life. Two very different views of the same person. However, it's entirely impossible that both are true. It's wrong to say that he has a short attention span or that he's lazy. Give him a difficult bit of ancient Greek and he's happy as Larry, explains Mount. In the important stuff, he finds boring, and that will be difficult. He's not going to fall over and hit the nuclear button with his arm, but he does get bored, and he doesn't do boring. This is quite a long article. Another example of Johnson's questionable decision-making came earlier this week when he failed to defend Kim Darroch, the UK's ambassador to Washington, following the leaked comments in which Darroch was critical of US President Donald Trump. It has since emerged that Johnson's lack of support prompted Darroch to resign. When you look at the appalling response, well, I wonder if Darroch is a Jew. Probably not, so he probably wants him to get rid of him, and he'll put a Jew in that position if this guy isn't a Jew or whatever, girl, I don't know. When you look at the appalling response he gave to the Kim Darroch question, you see how lacking in integrity and leadership he is, Heffer says. To say Johnson's character is deeply flawed like this and is like saying water is slightly wet. If he becomes prime minister, he will be the man most deficient in probity. I never heard of this word. Sorry. He will be the man most deficient in probity ever to hold the post. Well, see, this is a testimony. You see, like the Teflon rabbi, this guy is not up to the job. He's lacking in integrity and leadership. And you see that this is the age of affirmative action, don't you? I've dubbed it that, the age of affirmative action. And, of course, this man will be the most deficient to ever hold the post. How do you like that? How Johnson may win? How can it be, then, that a man so divisive in trouncing his rival so spectacularly? One word, Brexit. The UK has been stuck in its Brexit crisis for over 3 years now. Jacob Rees-Mogg blames his failure on the government that has been dominated by people whom he suspects never really wanted to leave the EU. To deliver Brexit needs a Brexiteer, Rees-Mogg explains. There are two approaches. One that is Brexit. One is that Brexit is a problem to be managed. Then there's the Boris approach, which is that Brexit is a huge opportunity. Well, this is quite the long, we can't go through this whole thing. But you see there what I'm talking about. So let's go back to the first article. And let me get down to where I was. Okay, it says, would that perhaps include the ways, the views of the shadow Foreign Secretary of Johnson's own Tory party, William Hague, who famously stirs pro-Israel ire when he described Israel's military actions as disproportionate? That's a question. Wait a moment, Johnson mutters. Oh, God, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. What he really means, he corrects himself in the atmosphere during the war, the anti-Israel hyperbole, and the marchers carrying banners declaring, we are all Hezbollah now. There's a fundamental moral frivolity, about it, he continues. What they're doing is not thought through. It's deeply trivializing something that is very important. And they're making spurious analogies between a country that's trying to defend itself and terrorists trying to destroy it. And that makes me very angry. Because it comes out in him, you see. They're trying to destroy it. and it lives in him. What I dislike about the whole procedure is the idea that you can kind of be cool and strike an attitude by consorting with very controversial figures who are in fact advocating something that you really, if you thought about it, couldn't defend. That's what I don't like about it. It's like sucking up to Chavez because it's sort of cool and in your face, and it makes everyone think what kind of a hip guy you are. And Chavez goes around closing newspapers, you know? He's a left-wing tyrant who we are allowing him. Why are we allowing him to do us all a favor by subsidizing transport for London? Sucking up is something that Johnson prefers not to do. As mayor, I can assure you, I certainly would not welcome people like Mr. Al-Qaradawi, he says. But he also declines to score some easy minority-friendly points over faith schools, which he admits he does not instinctively support. If I was able to start from scratch, I'd probably have an American system in which I wouldn't allow faith to be any kind of bar to a child's entry into school, he says. But we have some wonderful faith schools, and we have lots of institutions that work. We have fantastically energetic parent bodies, teachers. They get terrific results. I'm not going to monkey around with that. Yet he worries about schools that, without proper regulation, might encourage divisions between communities. He does not mean Jewish ones. So we don't have to go through this whole thing, but I think you get the, well, listen to this. I hope you're listening, because this is, I'm glad I didn't skip this. It's the paragraph after this. I'm going to read this paragraph because of the Pickaninny thing, though. Still, it's hard to imagine in what context the use of terms like pickaninnies or descriptions of Africans having watermelon smiles could be seen as appropriate. Johnson has also been a past supporter of the Iraq War and a former fan of President Bush, a Jew. He's also quite aware that his support for Israel is unlikely to be a vote winner, but I hope to argue my case, he says. I believe in Israel. Listen now, because this is what a Zionist is. Listen very carefully. And remember the brainwash that's going to be in this sentence. Can you pick it out? I'll stop, and I want you to tell me what's wrong with this whole thing. I mean, besides the first sentence alone. Listen very carefully. I believe in Israel's inalienable right to exist. I think it's a wonderful country. And like everybody else, I want a two-state solution, he says. With the caveat that, of course, I think there are faults on Israel's side. What was wrong there? I'm going to take a sip of coffee, and I want you to think about it. Want me to read it again? I believe in Israel's inalienable right to exist. I think it's a wonderful country. And like everybody else, I want a two-state solution, he says. With the caveat, of course, that I think there are faults on Israel's side. You're right. Israel's not a country. And Israel has no inalienable right to exist. Because it's not a country. Right? You see, they're trying to brainwash you into believing that this is a country. And they'll use it in these articles like this. And if you're not paying attention, you just go right by it and it programs right into your mind. It's a wonderful country. Oh, sure, it's a wonderful country. It sure is doing a lot for the world, isn't it? But it's not a country. It's an occupied, stolen territory of land that is not theirs. Period. So he continues, I'm not going to defend every aspect of what Israel does, and you wouldn't expect me to, but my bedrock, irreducible position is that Israel is a huge and wonderful fact that deserves support and protection. Very interesting. a wonderful fact? But see, it's not a fact. It's a fiction. You understand? He gets quite exercised over the lucrative academic boycott movement. You get the feeling that people don't want to find a solution. See, he's not getting ludicrous. He's not getting that when we boycott Iran or boycott Russia or boycott any other country. He only gets ludicrous over the boycott of Israel. See, Israel can boycott every country in the world, but don't you boycott Israel, the fake country that isn't even a country. It's stolen land. It's a criminal non-fact. He said it was a fact. You see the brainwash that's going on in these articles? So, I'm going to finish this. He gets quite exercised over the ludicrous academic boycott movement. You get the feeling that people don't want to find a solution, that they don't want to help. They just want to strike attitudes and look cool. And that makes me absolutely furious. Problems on both sides won't be solved by wearing a t-shirt saying I'm with Hezbollah. I don't know why he's calling it Hezbollah. It's Hezbollah. What's going on here? And indulging in puny, pointless boycotts that go against your own principles anyway. No, that boycott against Israel doesn't go against my principles. What the hell is he talking about? Despite his heritage, Johnson is not overburdened with knowledge about Jewish culture or religion. He has no dedicated advisor on Jewish affairs as yet. Oh, yes, he does. He has it inside of him. Although he says he would love, quote unquote, to meet the chief rabbi, his knowledge of Israel is enthusiastically affectionate without pretending to any great level of analysis, and perhaps it is unfair to expect him to be familiar with the concept of the Eruv, which at first he takes to be some new sort of congestion charging zone. So let's look up Eruv. Funny how he knows what it means, An urban area enclosed by wire boundary, which symbolically extends the private domain of Jewish households into public areas, permitting activities within it that are normally forbidden in public on the Sabbath. So, they say they obey the Sabbath, but they have made boundaries where they don't have to obey the Sabbath. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, because they never obeyed the Sabbath in the first place. You understand that? That this is all just a game? So listen again. The Eruv, E-R-U-V, an urban area enclosed by a wire boundary which symbolically extends the private domain of Jewish households into the public areas, permitting activities within it that are normally forbidden in public on the Sabbath. Hello? I hope you're listening. I hope you understand. I hope you're... This has been like gold, hasn't it? At the same time, he stresses again and again that he wants more interfaith work, more forums for discussion and reconciliation, and genuine engagement between London's communities. I'm going to show you why he wants that and why they made him the prime minister. Listen, as for Johnson's policies, well, in its early days, they seem to center on a more responsive government that delivers a bigger bang for taxpayers' bucks. Listen carefully. He wants to tackle crime with extra beat policemen, the police state being brought up exponentially, you see, the Jewish thing. He wants to tackle crime with extra beat policemen, prioritize the transport system, and somehow deliver extra housing that is still going to be sought after and valued and prized in a century's time, he continues. The buildings in Spitalfields in London's East End, for instance, where I suppose Jewish immigrants came to, they're now fantastically valued, £500,000 to buy one. As for the environment, yes, the famously keen cyclist says he will be absolutely dedicated to greening the capital. Greening. The devil's favorite color, the Emerald City. He wants to green the capital. Although I don't want some sort of half-baked class war against certain types of vehicles, when very often people who drive the vehicles in that particular bracket will be the people on pretty low incomes with quite big families who need a people carrier. You can see this fella is a Jewish fellow, and everything about him is Jew. Oh, listen. Born Alexander Boris D. Pfeffel Johnson in New York on June, which is the 6th month, 19th. So that would be like 69. Six is man, nine is their father, the devil. But they're not really man. But it's like the Edomite star. The six would be the upright Edomite star, and the nine would be the upside-down goat of Mendes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Listen to this. On being Jewish, his quote, "I have some Jewish ancestry, but I'm not sure how Jewish I am. I'm proud of it, very proud." Now, let's go to Wikipedia, and this gets even more interesting. Listen to this. Johnson was born to upper-middle-class British parents on June 19, 1964, in Manhattan's Upper East Side in New York City. His father, Stanley Johnson, was then studying economics at Columbia University. Johnson's mother is Charlotte Fawcett, an artist from a family of liberal intellectuals. She had married Stanley in 1963, prior to their move to the U.S. Johnson's maternal grandfather was the lawyer, listen carefully, Sir Freemason, James Fawcett. Johnson's paternal great-grandfather was Caucasian Turkish journalist Ali Kemal, who was a secular Muslim. His father's other ancestry includes English, German, and French. One of his German ancestors was said to be the illegitimate daughter of Prince Paul of Württemberg, and thus a descendant of King George II of Great Britain. This would make him and Elizabeth II six cousins two times removed. However, listen very carefully, through Mary of Teck's connection to Frederick II, Eugene, Duke of Württemberg, they have a closer genealogical link, as they are fifth cousins two times removed. Now listen careful. Johnson's mother is the granddaughter of Elias Avery Lowe, a paleographer who was a Russian Jewish immigrant to the U.S. You get it? In other words, his mother is a Jew. His mother is a Jewess, which makes him a full-blown Jew, according to rabbinical sources. You get what I'm saying? So, Johnson's mother is the granddaughter of Elias Avery Lowe, a paleographer who was a Russian Jewish immigrant to the U.S., and Pennsylvania-born Helen Tracy Lowe Porter, a translator of Thomas Mann, in reference to his varied ancestry. Listen to this carefully now. This is going to explain it for you. Johnson has described himself as a one-man melting pot, quote-unquote. A one-man melting pot. With a combination of Muslims, Jews, and Christians as great-grandparents. Johnson was given the middle name Boris after a Russian emigre his parents had once met. An episode of Who Do You Think You Are explored the German origins of his middle name, Pfeffel. I think that that about explains all of this to you. And I find this quite interesting because I wouldn't have known this. So thanks to old Fritz who sent it about. But we learned a lot about this fellow, didn't we? And there's more you could learn if you were to look into the fellow. But it's very clear to me why he's Prime Minister of England. Is it clear to you? This is important information. And this is something that you should know so that you understand your world. You see, because this is just one of the millions of examples of people that you think are white but are Jews. In other words, this fellow is an abomination to the Heavenly Father. Does he have our blood running through him? Yes, he does. But you just heard it. He has Muslim, Jews, and Christians. He's a one-man melting pot. I hope this is all by admission. And of course, I haven't seen anything in the media talking about this new Jewish prime minister. Because Benjamin Disraeli, he was also Jew, and so was Churchill, etc., etc. This is nothing new. It's just like America. Bernie says in the media that this would be a new thing. If he became president, he'd be the first Jewish president. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. But you see, that's what these people like the Teflon rabbi expect you to do, not to look into it. They know you're lazy. They know that you won't look into it. And so you'll never know what has happened in the past. You see what I'm saying? You'll never know if you never search for the truth. You'll never have suspected such things. And this is what they count on. Just think of what I just said. Bernie said he'd be the first Jewish president in America. Woodrow Wilson was Jewish. So was Eisenhower. Ladies and gentlemen, I just hope you're learning. I hope you're paying attention. I hope this report is something that has really woken you up. And I'll tell you this. This has been a News Bites headline. Well, I shouldn't say that. This has been a News Bites report. And this has been a report that you should remember for a long time. And until next time, smarten up and don't look down.